air today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, we've been hearing news over the last 24 hours trickling through about a new strategy to target young people at risk of homelessness. Social housing in particular will be used for shared accommodation for young people under a new government strategy to tackle the issue. Around 17% of people accessing emergency accommodation were aged between 18 and 24, according to the latest monthly homelessness report. The government's new National Youth Homeless Strategy is the first in two decades. And joining me now to give his reaction to this strategy is Mike Allen, Advocacy Director at Focus Ireland. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I suppose, as we've been talking to you and to other charities and organisations throughout the course of this year, those figures in emergency accommodation continue to rise, and there have been calls on the government to do something and to issue new ideas and initiatives. What's your reaction to this one, Mike?
Yeah, we welcome the fact that this has been published. To have a strategy to tackle youth homelessness is something that Focus Ireland, which is one of the biggest providers of services to young homeless adults and children, indeed, we've been arguing for this for years, and we've been working through a coalition to end youth homelessness, which involves all the homeless organisations that have youth services and many of the youth organisations like the National Council for Youth and so on. So we've been arguing for about 4 or 5 years that we need a strategy. We now have a strategy. Of course, we don't have everything that we were looking for is not in that strategy, but there is a huge amount of progress, and there's a lot of areas sketched out on it which will really make a big difference. And one of the things we need to realise is that, well, we know homelessness has been increasing in Ireland, other than the period of COVID, it's been increasing really since 2014. We hear a lot about the increase in family homelessness. But in the last year or so, the level of homelessness amongst 18 to 24-year-olds is the fastest single increase. And an experience of homelessness when you're 18, 19, 20 is deeply, deeply damaging, and indeed increases the risk of experiencing homelessness throughout the rest of your life. So unless we do something about youth homelessness, we will not be able to do anything about overall homelessness.
Yeah, the Department of Housing Initiative aims to prevent young people from entering homelessness, to improve the experiences of those who are accessing emergency accommodation, and to successfully help young people exit homelessness. Targeted information campaigns on housing supports will be aimed at young people. It's common sense, and really goes without saying, Mike, that if we start implementing these changes aimed at those people at such a young age, it will go a long way to alleviating the pressure in later life.
I agree. It is common sense. And one of the tragedies of the work that we do is that we have to spend a huge amount of energy campaigning, getting the support of the public to get public service to introduce what actually just seems like common sense. So it's obvious to everybody that if we're going to end youth homelessness, we have to intervene before people are 18. We know when people are going to turn 18. We have a huge amount of knowledge. We need to have prevention. But the fact that it's common sense doesn't mean that we shouldn't be celebrating when we finally have the realisation that we need systems to do that. And one of the big shifts, I think, in this programme is a real recognition, a shift towards recognising some of the factors that push people into homelessness. I think there's been a long recognition that young people who grow up in care have a much higher risk of homelessness. That's reflected there, and there are some proposed changes to reduce the risk of homelessness there. But for the first time, we've got a government homeless strategy which recognises that a gender identity, LGBTQI young people, in the process of coming out or first expressing their gender identity, are at much higher risk of homelessness. And it took Focus Ireland a lot of research and a lot of work to bring that home to people, because I think it's shocking in modern Ireland, where we think we're so advanced and we have same-sex marriage and so on, that young people who are coming out for the first time can find themselves alienated from their families, can find themselves homeless at the age of 18, 19, in different, away from their hometown, and very isolated and very, very vulnerable. So that's recognised in this, and it begins to start to develop. We will begin to start to develop services and supports for those young people, so that homelessness is much, much less of a risk for them. I think that's a huge shift.
Just take us through some more of the detail of what's entailed and included in this strategy, Mike. As I mentioned, social housing is one element that's going to be used for shared accommodation. There are other facets to it, but also, as you say, there are some parts that you would have liked to have seen included that are not.
Yes, yeah, so the shared accommodation part got a lot more media coverage, I think, than I would have expected. It is there, and it says that they want to pilot a scheme where young people choose to share flats. And lots of young people do that. So to allow social housing to have that sort of structure is a good thing. We do know, though, that for young vulnerable people with, you know, maybe have complex support needs or grew up in residential care, sharing tends not to be a good option. So that's recognised in the report. And so it's very much a sort of opening up the options for young people within social housing rather than pushing people in directions that may or may not suit them. I'm not sure that came across in some of the printed media coverage of it. One of the really important things is, there's lots of ways in which people can end up homeless, but vulnerable young people with complex support needs are obviously at particular risk. And we've argued for many years that the successful principles and practices around housing first, 80 to 90% success rate, should be applied to young people with complex support needs too. You shouldn't have to wait until you've been homeless for 7 years to get the support of Housing First. So there's a new program in this. They're not calling it Housing First, and we can live with that. It's called Support for Youth Housing, and it is a pilot program to work with young people with very complex needs to provide them with a home as a first step. And this comes from the real insight, again, you might say common sense, that if somebody has support needs, if they have mental health issues or if they're struggling with drug addiction and so on, it's much easier for them to deal with those issues if they have a stable home than if they're in a homeless shelter. And so if we give them a home and we put the supports around them, and that's the absolutely crucial bit, multidisciplinary supports, they're much more likely to have a stable and successful, fruitful life than if we tell them to deal with their problems while they're living in totally unsuitable homeless accommodation. And that, again, that pilot project, I think, is going to be really interesting, really important. Ireland is already a world leader in some pilot programs applying these principles to young people. Focus Ireland projects in Waterford in the southeast with Tusla and the HSE and the local authorities there are visitors from all over the world. So the ability to spread that sort of expertise, I think, into other areas and other communities where the young people need those supports, I think will be something that we'll be very much looking forward to doing.
Finally, Mike, it is welcomed by Focus Ireland, this strategy, but do you feel as though the government are playing catch-up now because of underfunding to the system over the last number of years? I know that after the budget we were talking to you and you said that they had decided to do absolutely nothing for a large part of the year. Do you think they're catching up on themselves?
They are definitely playing catch-up. We're playing catch-up on the decisions that were made after the global recession to stop building houses and to dismantle the building industry and to dismantle the capacity of local authorities to build housing and to run down a lot of mental health and youth services. And so in the context of this youth homeless strategy, it is important to recognise that the problem of youth homelessness and youth marginalisation is partly a function of the underinvestment in youth support services for young people who never would have any risk of homelessness. So we're not saying that, you have to see this in the overall. There needs to be a much greater shift towards supporting our young people, not just in the context of homelessness, but in the context of mental health and the context of general housing and the context of education and quality of life. And if we do that, then we begin to see huge benefits in terms of youth homelessness as well. But I think the general issue you're raising, that we're well behind where we need to be in all forms of homelessness and housing, and we're really, really going to have to run to catch up, I think is very true.
Okay, you can read the full strategy that the government have released in terms of how they're going to target young people at risk of homelessness on the government's website. And with that reaction, Mike Allen, Advocacy Director of Focus Ireland. Thanks for joining us, Mike, and good morning. Loads of messages coming in regarding the restless legs. And hopefully, if anybody else listening has restless legs and they're looking for some help or some ideas for how they might cure it or at least alleviate it, that these might be of help to you. Katie in Ellistown says a hot bath with Epsom salts may do the trick. Another one here saying if you get a massage on your legs every few weeks, it should help. That comes in from Johnny in Athy. Others saying perhaps go to the GP. It might be another issue in terms of maybe thyroid gland underactive or overactive. Mick and Salen say if you lie on your tummy, kick your feet back for 60 seconds and so on, it's guaranteed to work. We'll have to try that. For restless legs, just step into the shower and spray ice cold water on them. It really works, says Martina. Tonic water is brilliant and also great for cramps in your legs. Anne says she's been drinking it for years. And another one here saying that magnesium supplements are the best for that. And a couple of people actually have suggested magnesium. Other messages then, May unhappy with the government. She says that's the biggest problem with our government. It's a lack of common sense. They've made a hames of everything, according to May. And one more message, and this is particular. If anybody is in Baltinglass, listen up. Anyone around Baltinglass having problems with air broadband, or is it just me, asks this listener. So anybody else around the Baltinglass area that signed up with air, are you having trouble with your broadband? Let us know.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, we're going to the south of the county now, joined on the line by Fine Gael TD for Kildare South and Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Owen.
News that we're breaking on the programme this morning is good news for the Athy area, some funding announced.
Yes, delighted to be able to exclusively announce on your show this morning that my colleague Minister Heather Humphreys is today confirming almost €4.3 million for Athy for the food drink skills hub at the old former model school, a project that has been worked on by Kildare Local Enterprise Office and in particular Jackie McNabb, and supported by Kildare County Council for some time. Myself and my colleague Councillor Ivan Keatley and in fairness all local politicians have been very supportive of this project through what's been a lengthy process. We got an initial allocation of funding under Category 2 to get it to a shovel-ready stage, and this is a really fantastic investment in Athy, almost €4.3 million to get the food drinks and skills hub in the old model school up and running.
Give us a little bit of background here then, Martin, about what this is actually going to entail and a timeline of what's involved here.
Yeah, so people will know the old model school, an iconic building on the right hand side if you drive into Dublin Road into town, and it's been lying vacant there for a long time, and it's been the idea and the brainchild of a number of people for some time that, you know, Athy's history is one of industry is based largely around food and the fact that it's surrounded by some of the best agricultural land in the country. And whether that was bachelor's peas or minch malt and all the rest, you know, there's an opportunity there for us to develop jobs and to develop traineeships for people who want to work in the food sector, but also then for small artisan food producers in South Kildare to have, you know, facilities there like a shared commercial kitchen to be able to operate out of. So the new building, when it's finished, will be fully refurbished, and this €4.3 million will go towards that. The fit out of the vacant building will provide training, demonstration and shared commercial kitchens, meeting areas, ancillary sanitary and storage facilities and all associated site works. So ultimately here, this will be a place where there'll be co-sharing spaces where people can work from and have it as a hub. Small businesses, people who are thinking of making ice cream or jams or other artisan food locally but need to scale up, we'll be able to do that here, but we'll also be able to do training for people who want to work as chefs and in different areas in this space. So the role of DTB will be important in this down the line as well, and there's opportunities there for linkages with the likes of the South East SETU, the Carlow Institute as it's under its new name now. So there's a lot of opportunities here, but it really is about, you know, we've seen the development of new ring road for Athy making great progress now after the sod was turned earlier this year. We've seen a huge amount of investment in a tie, but the main piece that we really need to tackle is around jobs and is around job opportunities and business opportunities, particularly for young people. And this, and the area of food, and I noticed from my role in the Department of Agriculture as Minister that the area of food and drink is something that has huge potential for economic activity, and it's something that suits itself really well to a tie. So that's why we earmarked this, and why Heather Humphreys has now allocated 4.3 million under her Rural Regeneration and Development Fund to a tie. It's a massive investment in the South Kildare.
Yeah, the decision of Kildare County Council to proceed with the planning permission for the site back in 2021 would have assisted in driving it forward, and meaning that it's ready now for that funding allocation. How quickly can work begin and building begin?
Yeah, so like the foresight and the movement of Kildare County Council at that time was really important. We missed out on one enterprise grant at that time, and that was really disappointing. But in fairness to the council and local enterprise office, we all remained, worked together, dedicated ourselves to it, and said, you know, it was really obvious that being shovel ready and having planner permission in place would definitely help us be able to put our best foot forward. And those decisions are being vindicated today now, because ultimately this is shovel ready, and that's what Category 1 funding is about. You don't get 4.3 million if you have to sit around and wait for a year or two to get planning and stuff. So obviously there'll be tendering processes and that to be done, but this is as shovel ready a project as you can get. So I would hope to see work on site in the new year, but obviously there is other steps that have to be taken there. But the money has been the hold up until now. We've got it now, and you know, it'll just complement the other investments we have in Atai. As I said, there is the Ring Road, there's a new primary care centre on that side of town, the award-winning and library, and the Barra Blueway, which is nearing completion into next year. There's an awful lot happening in South Kildare. There's a huge amount of state investment gone in there, and you know, this is a key piece from the jobs and enterprise side of things, which is really, really important for Atai and for South Kildare.
Yes, the latest vote of confidence in the south of the county. Only a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Diageo moving in there too, Newbridge, and now the Athai Food, Drinks and Skills Hub as well. So it's a good time for the South Kildare constituency.
It is, Owen, and like if you think about it, while Diageo is a brewery and someone I've worked really closely with along the way, and this food and drink hub in Athai is not dissimilar. It's playing to our strengths. You know, the south of the county has some of the best agricultural land in the country. We historically have always had good quality jobs out of food and drink, and it's an area where we've identified through Enterprise Ireland and through the Department of Rural Affairs, working with the local enterprise office in Kildare, we've identified this as a key selling point for us in South Kildare, as well as tourism and other areas. So there's a lot of strategic thinking went into this, and we think it's a huge opportunity and will be a really big benefit for economic activity in south of the county in the years to come.
All right, good stuff. And that funding, as we said, 4.2 million euro announced this morning exclusively here on the show. Martin, before we let you go, a couple of weeks ago again we were talking about the modular home situation in Newbridge and in Rathangan. We've seen over the last week or so, although it's not in your constituency, but from a government point of view, what's happening at the Kill Equestrian Centre. This is not being handled very well by the department, is it?
Look, I think I'll reiterate the same point I made to you last time, Owen. We're acting in real time to a crisis that is on an unprecedented scale. We obviously are, Minister Roderick O'Gorman, who stays in regular contact with us, is trying to work with all state agencies, from local authorities through to state departments, to identify spaces where we can provide shelter for people who are fleeing war. And there's a variety of different options there in terms of accommodation options that we offer as a state under our international obligations. Some of them have been hotel and B&B spaces. Some of them will be modular units down the line. And some of them then are larger facilities where, you know, you see the likes of the City West being under the pressure it's under. But obviously at the same time, even though we have to act in very real time, we also have to take cognizance of local pressures and areas, and by pressures I mean the likes of flooding issues or things that would, you know, hinder and make sites unsuitable, and also then, you know, where you place people, we have an obligation to make sure we can place them in places where there is transport links, and obviously then you have to work with other state departments to make sure there's sufficient school places, and where there's pressure on places for GPs and other such services, that, you know, we work with the Department of Health and Education to make sure that those gaps are filled in as far as possible in this real-time reaction. So, you know, it's not perfect. Our response isn't perfect, but I would argue it's an emergency response to an emergency situation that is evolving. And while we've 60,000 people here seeking refuge, fleeing war, you know, that's a little over 1% of the amount of people who have been displaced from Ukraine. And unfortunately, unfortunately those figures could increase. Ukraine gets very cold in the winter, and if people don't have electricity or heat, then that's a challenge for us. So we're responding in real time and doing so in as best manner as we can.
There are some differences and some similarities in terms of what we've seen in Newbridge and Rathangan and Kill. One common denominator is the lack of consultation and the lack of engagement within communities. That is crucial, and you know that, Martin, how important it is to bring in and to make, I suppose, residents of these areas not feel as though they've been left in the dark or things are coming out of the blue.
Yeah, and look, I've experienced it myself over the last number of months dealing with constituents. The only thing worse than a lack of information is half information, and that's what we've had in a lot of situations, and that leads people to jump to all types of conclusions and leads to an awful lot of stress and distress. And when we think of the stress and distress we had in Rathangan and Newbridge over the summer, and to think we're still in November now and we still don't have clarity on that, that's really frustrating for me and for other public representatives to be in this space. But obviously, you know, initially places were proposed, the site locations were, and they were put on initial lists. And then it was highlighted with the local knowledge that, you know, there was a flooding issue, particularly in the Newbridge area there, that had to be identified. That analysis is still ongoing. If it's not an appropriate site for modular buildings, we're not going to put them somewhere that are going to flood down the line or that's going to cause flooding to existing houses. But how that could be handled from a communication point of view has left something to be desired. And I know the frustration there is in Kill there as well, where the uncertainty and rumours that go around about a site being there. So again, I do bring back to the point that I know some of the people involved in dealing with this are under huge pressure, because on the other hand, they have to be able to come up with spaces that provide shelter, but at the same time, they have to be able to liaise and communicate with local public representatives and with local authorities, and trust that the sites that are put forward fit and work. And that doesn't always be the case, and where it's found not to be the case, then we need to obviously be able to respond to that, because there are very clear guidelines around what is suitable and what isn't suitable. And as I said, there obviously is the broader point then about transport links, and you know, when people are here, and if they're here for a number of months or longer, then you know what type of services they have, because with young children and everything, they all have needs for education, for health requirements and all that. So there's an awful lot of moving parts to this. It's not a simple thing to coordinate, but definitely I would hope we will be doing it better in the coming months than has been the reaction from certain cases in the last few months.
Okay, Fine Gael TD for Kildare South, and Junior Minister at the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden, thanks for your time this morning, Martin. A couple of the messages that are coming in, and Jerry wanted to know if the Athy Food Hub will be able to be used to extract and process honey in the Athy Food Facility, and we got in touch with the Kildare Local Enterprise Office, and Jackie McNabb says that absolutely, yes, this is an option. So hopefully that answers that question, and that you can make use of that facility, Jerry. Thanks for getting in touch. Another listener says, I'm also having trouble with the air network over the past few days in Baltinglass. No service on my phone at all. So that listener who texted us earlier to ask the question, you're not on your own there in terms of the air broadband. A couple of people having similar problems. And another here saying, traffic very heavy going into Kilcock and onto the motorway coming from Enfield. Yeah, that's because there's a crash on the M4 heading northbound between the junction for Kilcock and Maynooth, and that's having knock-on delays in the various towns and villages. Katie Moore is on the line again. Good morning, Katie.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
Good. You joined us yesterday. You were talking about your struggles to get registered as a midwife because you had completed the course and graduated from the course 9 weeks ago. You had no response from the college, or you couldn't further what you wanted to do or apply for any jobs. An hour after coming on the programme yesterday, Katie, what happened?
So, I couldn't believe it, Owen. An hour after talking on the radio, the girls started messaging into our WhatsApp group saying that they have started to receive emails from the NMBI to register. So at about 10:30, lying in bed, I got my email. I actually couldn't believe my eyes. Opened it, it asked you to click on the link, and just like that, I was on the register as a registered midwife.
Super, super stuff. That means that you can now start applying for jobs, is it?
That's it, yeah. So I'm actually going to work through an agency, which allows me to decide, you know, what hours I work, and it allows me to choose the hospitals. So hopefully get good exposure to some Dublin hospitals, and then maybe to some country hospitals as well, So I'll be starting next week.
That's brilliant. And you mentioned yesterday that this is the job of your dreams, is what you've always wanted to do. So now you're in a position to go and follow that.
Oh, it's like, it's honestly, it was a pinch me moment yesterday. And as I said, kind of all this has kind of overrided the excitement of finishing the course. And I didn't truly believe it. So when I got that email, I rang my boyfriend and I think he thought there was something wrong. I just couldn't stop crying with pure kind of, it was a mix of emotions, relief, excitement, kind of anyone that had supported me along the way as well. You know, I read a post yesterday on Facebook and it was like, you know, 5 years ago you were dreaming of where you are today. And it's totally true, you know. So I just kind of like to encourage anyone, you know, I wasn't a fan of posting on social media. I didn't want to, you know, point fingers at anyone, but at the same time, I needed to get answers. So I just say to anyone out there that is struggling with anything similar or anything at all, that's hesitant, you know, it just goes to show what having a voice can do.
Yeah, I mean, you got in touch with us a couple of days ago. We contacted Trinity College and we contacted the National Board of Midwives in Ireland. But really, it's the work that you have been doing over the last number of weeks in speaking out and trying to get the wheels moving here, so to speak. And, you know, the whole class now is registered.
Yeah, that's to my knowledge. So most people are registered now. If they want to register somewhere else, let's say England or whatever, they're still trying to get transcripts, which we can't get. So I'm hoping kind of with the work that I've done, things will slowly start to change in the college and they'll hopefully start to release these results sooner, because it just goes to show that, you know, it's a click of a button and yet we were all registered yesterday within a couple of hours.
Well, well done and congratulations and the very best of luck going forward now as a midwife.
Thank you. Thanks for all your help, Owen.
No problem at all. That's Katie Moore, qualified nurse and now a registered midwife from Kildare Town. If you were listening to the programme yesterday, she had tried and tried and tried to get answers to get registered as a midwife. And we got in touch with the various organisations, as we said, and within an hour of Katie coming onto the programme yesterday morning, I got a call from the midwives board saying that everything was sorted. Katie and her classmates are now registered. Katie got in touch with me and said it was as simple as that. So it just goes to show, as Katie said, the power of speaking out and having a voice. And that's what KFM are here to do. If there's anything in your area that we can assist you with at all, get in touch with us. 0833 97 97 97. Thanks, Katie, and best of luck.